Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is a red shirt Sunday. We have been talking lots of Masters stuff. We're going to get into Braves, though, and some other stories. But we are
less than a half hour away from play starting, and it is still dark.
But we got some rain in this area.
The guys are out there practicing in the dark.
Yeah,
man.
They got floodlights out there.
Floodlights on at Augusta.
Can we do that? Can we not? We can't get play by play, can we? We're not supposed to do that. We'd be getting a call from Hootie.
My goodness, but 7:30.
I know he's gone. I just like saying his name. Yeah, I think he's still running things.
Well, no, not anymore. But when he did, he ran it.
He probably did give us a call.
7:30. The first tee times today, and of course the leaders, your final pairings will go off at 9:20. They're playing threesomes today, something we never see at Augusta on a Sunday, but they're doing it to beat some inclement weather that's bearing down on the Metro Atlanta area here pretty soon. So get ready for that as part of your sports Sunday.
I just want to keep talking about this Masters thing. I mean, we got some other stuff we want to get to.
Yeah, we do.
But I just have to tell you guys what happened yesterday when we left here. Sam and I, and we had talked about, obviously, Tiger and the Masters, and we talked a little bit about the Braves, but one of the things that we had through the show was Sam last week was a part of an event with the high school, what was it, the Georgia High School?
Oh, Athletic Directors.
I thought it was a couple weeks ago. Okay, well, anyway, you were out there at an event, and I gave you a quest, and
I sent you back a picture of a scoreboard that included a shot clock.
And this has been like a pebble in my shoe for the longest time about why high school basketball doesn't have a shot clock. And you're not as frustrated at me, but you could see a need for it too. But you have reasoning why it hasn't happened. So anyway, we talked about this yesterday, and
we had our guest on,
Coach
Clay Crump,
and talked about
who has written a way of phasing in gradually.
Came with some ideas.
It's on the docket for a GHSA meeting early this week, which I don't know how that's going to go, but they do have it. Coaches signed a petition around the state to at least have it up for a vote. They're going to put it up for a vote, and we see what happens.
And we'll see what happens. But what happened after the show is what I'm getting at. So we leave after talking about this, and we're going out to our cars, and this has happened before. Sam and I have continued our show on 15th Street from time to time.
We need to do that on Facebook Live or something.
And I mean, we walked out, and so who do we see coming toward us is our coworker, Chris Goforth, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And after the hey, how you doings and pleasantries and all this sort of stuff, hey, Chris, what do you think about this?
Chris is big into high school. People who follow him and listen to him,
he's
big into high school sports, and it went a little sideways there.
Out in the middle of 15th Street. Folks are trying to get into Colony Square here. Folks are coming down this way.
they're
looking at the three of us out in the middle
of the
street.
Dogwood Festival.
Yeah, just barking at each other. And Chris has given his reasons, and he talked about girls' high school basketball, too. Yeah. Another reason for that. But we went back and forth with this, and everybody, despite the fact that you have reasoning for it, it could be financial in some areas, it needs to happen. It just needs to happen. It's one of those blind spots that – somebody, for whatever reason, hasn't decided to just push this forward because you aren't preparing these kids for what's next if they don't learn at that level. Listen, we do things in high school football to prepare them for getting to college. If you, as a point guard in the high school level, don't have in your mind or started to instill in your mind, at high school level, 35 seconds, to get this ball through that basket, and you're going to play four corners and make it the most boring game ever, ready for the next level.
But that's where coaching comes in, though, Greg. That's the challenge. It's coach and the coaches who would oppose the shot clock will tell you that you take away the strategy that comes with coaching. and defense. Okay, I mean when I was in high school back in old dark 30 in the dark ages, there was a team down on the south side of town that won the state championship every year in their classification, and they did a half court trap. Didn't matter about a shot clock. You had 10 seconds, and you're going to turn the ball over. Either they're going to take the ball from you and shoot layups, or you, or the 10 seconds going to come and they get the ball back. That's defense. They got nothing to do with shot clock. So I'm just saying, you know, you take that kind of strategy out of it. That moves fast. If you don't have a good point guard, you don't get across the timeline. You're giving the ball back. Because when I first heard about that team, I said, I bet these guys are hitting 30-foot jump shots, 20-foot jump shots out the gym all night. Nope, they shot layups all night. And beat you by 20. So I'm just saying, you take away that strategy. You know what I mean? It puts the onus on the coaches to coach.
But you understand that's not the outlier, Sam. And not be talent managers. And why can't you?
We got a lot of talent managers in our area, guys who talent and can manage talents that somebody else who's cultivated and get them on their team, and they feel like they can win a lot of games.
Yeah,
we got a lot of that going on.
Why are you assuming there's no coaching going on if there's a shot clock? This is just different kind of coaching. And you're preparing them for what's next, especially your guards.
Everybody ain't college bound.
Okay, well, your objective still is to win.
And absolutely.
And to have point guards who know that they got 35 seconds to move that ball around. It's a part of a game that they will play, whether it's at the college level or in the playground, for the rest of their life as long as they're playing. They know that this is a part of the game. And for whatever reason, high school – you know, they cry poor a lot of times. No, but then you look at McEachern and you look at what they got over there. Okay, that's not a good comparison.
They probably got the clock. You just got to bring them out there and plug them up. They got them over there. But here's the thing. There are plenty of opportunities to use it right now. And what Coach Grump was saying, I totally agree with. And that is using the shot clock for the holiday tournaments, the holiday classics, which those events usually pair teams that are filled with college-bound players. And that's what you want to see. You do want to see that in those situations. So places like Norcross, where they have Hawks Naismith, Holiday Hoops given over here over at Holy Innocence, or Jared Cook up at North Gwinnett, any of those are the Big South or out of Brookwood, any of those events that are played, you know, between Thanksgiving and January 1 and then MLK weekend. Those events, I think the shot clock is great for those events because you're playing against teams from different parts of the state that have those players that people want to come out and see, and you want to see the guys who are aimed toward college to have that challenge, to add that challenge. So I think that's a great way of implementing it. He said per regions, if the regions agree to do it, or if you set up a game with a team that's not in your region and you agree, yep, turn your clock on when we come over to play, when you come to play at our place where we have a clock. To me, that makes it fair. But I just think getting to the state tournament, which is a whole different thing. And they do have the clocks down in Macon, we hope. And, you know, but it'll, gradually you get to that point. You don't just all of a sudden flip the switch and everybody.
I'm not saying they got to do that, but at least let us know that this is what we're starting to do. And you know, we're phasing it in. It's going to be in 2 years or 5 years or whatever, all high schools are going to have a shot clock. You tell me that today, I'm cool. But as long as it's like this and it's subjective to who gets it and who doesn't, this is it smacks of the DH.
And I tell you what
me.
I saw that down in Savannah. If you're getting a new scoreboard for your gym, it's kind of got the shot clock in it.
Okay.
You know,
wherever that's it is.
You have to activate it now. But we heard the guy yesterday.
The dude sitting there at the table can hit the button. Boom, you're done.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. And then it resets once something hits the rim or doesn't reset.
Easy for you to say.
That's what your guy said. The coach said that yesterday.
He said it yesterday. Because that's another thing. The officials have to get acclimated to it as well.
So they don't have to go to MIT to learn how to referee a game with a shot clock.
You got to phase that in if it's something that another element that they have to be aware of.
And that's cool.
Now some of them do officiate high school and junior college or college games. Some of them do. Some officials do. Mm. But, I mean, a lot of people got to get adapted to it.
Hey, we got a lot. By the way, Sam Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
I don't know what anybody feels about it. Y'all want to join in and tell us what you think, 404-741-0929. I know some folks.
Or the Salomon Brothers Diamond text line, 22929.
Yes, please do. Please do. What you think about the shot clock? GHSA will be voting on it this week. It is on the agenda.
Again. Until it's across the board, this is the DH to me.
You think?
Yeah. Well, This is not T-ball.
The shot clock doesn't cure everything. Just think about our national championship game and how that game started out Monday night.
I ain't saying about curing it. It's a part of the game, though.
The first 10 minutes of that game Monday night looked like the final score was going to be 35-34.
Be that as it may, you still had a shot clock.
And that was playing with a shot clock.
Okay.
So the shot clock doesn't magically make it be this great, flowing, exciting basketball game.
It is a part of the game that you have from top to bottom, as far as high school all the way up and playground. Even the playground brothers, you know, you can't hold the ball all day long.
If you playing good defense, you're gonna take the ball.
It's not a matter of if it's there. It's a part of it. I get what you're saying, but bring a clock in. Make the game like everybody else. Don't leave it this little section over here for folks who don't have the means to guide a shot clock or aren't going to college. All the other reasons you gave as to why.
Yeah.
I ain't arguing to get you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, but you know it should be across the board. Anyway. I was going to, before we have to break.
Yeah.
Does Genie Bus put this team on the selling block?
No. Nah.
The Lakers?
No. Nah.
As we kind of wrap up our NBA, why not?
No. Nah.
Why wouldn't you consider it?
No. Nope.
When you look at what Steve Ballmer paid for the Clippers,
yeah.
You hear about what the Knicks are worth, or I take that back because that's what James Dolan said he wanted, $5 billion. They're not worth that. But you look at the money that somebody would pay for the Lakers right now. If you don't get somebody like Kobe, if you insist on reaching into the Lakers' past to bring in an executive or somebody connected with that organization, and the last person I can think of right now is Kobe, if he wants to do it.
Well, there are a lot of other people now. Kobe's the high-profile person.
Yeah,
some other guys.
You have to attract people here. And that was why Magic was there in the past. By the way, no more Dream Team dudes. We love them. They're icons, but they're not executives. They're kind of almost, you know, what
Barkley,
dream team?
Barkley.
And again, as I just said, he's getting kind of like cartoonish.
No, but Barkley's fine in the role that he's in.
He's in, but he's not trying to run a team.
No.
But the guys that try to run teams or be coaches, how much success have we seen? With the exception of Larry Bird for a little bit, none. I just would not be surprised, and I would understand if Genie wanted to move that team and get the family out of it. I would not. You know, I would understand.
I don't think she's going to turn it loose.
Yeah.
That's coming up.
We'll see.
Meanwhile, we're going to talk to somebody who's awake and out of Augusta National with a flashlight.
You think he is?
He just might be. Mm-hmm. Steve Hummer from AJC is there at Augusta. He's going to bring us up to date. We continue on this Game Day Sunday and Red Shirt Sunday.
There you go.
On Sports Radio 1990 Game at 1990game.com.
I'm gonna tell you a story. I'm gonna tell you about my town.
Sports Radio, 99 The Game. Story, Sam and Greg, 9 floors up in the Kia Studios on a Game Day Sunday and a Red Shirt Sunday. And Augusta, we're watching the sky outside.
I ain't worried about it.
We're watching the sky for some rain coming our way, and they're watching for it also down the road at Augusta.
Yeah, and we should, and all kidding aside, we should remind people, if you're heading out east on I-20, check your GPS, because there was a...
It's going west.
No. The accident is on the east side, westbound side. I was coming eastbound. Going toward Alabama. You're going out there by Six Flags. They had closed down the interstate earlier. There was a fire. A truck, I think it was, right there at Thornton Road. They stopped traffic at Six Flags Boulevard. They wouldn't even let you go any farther. It might be cleared up now. It might not be. But we've been seeing footage of it on the news where it still looks like it's right there in the middle of the road.
Still working on it. Of course, you headed down to Augusta, you better get a move on.
Really.
Because they're getting ready to get things started. And a guy who's up early this morning, along with all the rest of the golfers from the AJC and AJC.com, is Steve Hummer. Steve, good morning, to you.
Well, good morning. This was a little bit unexpected, but I'm glad they actually made the move to try to get this thing in.
What time did you get there, Steve, this morning?
Oh, I haven't left for the course yet. I waited for you guys, so I wouldn't be distracted. I give my full attention to the show.
Well, we're so honored.
Thank you.
What has this week been like, and especially the last couple of days, considering who's on the leaderboard? And a star-studded leaderboard is what they'd love to have at Augusta. But obviously we see who's in contention with a chance to make some history today.
Oh, no, it's been terrific. It's this is what the Masters is supposed to be like. This kind of makes up for the Immelman or Schwartzel years. You know, this is the Masters. I mean, it starts with, you know, they have five guys tied for the lead after two rounds, which they never had, and it's just been a crowded leaderboard of guys who have won majors and are accomplished and really know how to play in this moment. And then the Tiger factor overarches everything else. This is going to be a real interesting day to see if this would be quite a chapter he'd add to his legacy if he actually comes back and wins this thing. I still don't think that he can do it. He'll do it, but he can do it. But I don't think he will do it. But that's I hope I'm wrong.
See, it's like mixed emotions with this, but we all want to see greatness. We all want to be a part of it, right, Steve? And him coming back full circle. I talked about this with Sam earlier. His first win in 97, he's out there hugging his father. He lost it. I think the same emotions will bubble over if he wins today, but yet he'll be hugging his kids.
Right. No, it's it would be quite a journey. You know, I was him winning at the Tour Championship last year was a big deal, but this is a whole different level with a fuller field. It's still not as majors go. It's not the same kind of field, but it's certainly this is a whole other level than what we saw at East Lake.
Can I follow up with that, Sam, real quick here, Sam? And I want to get your thoughts on this too, Steve, because this is something else that we've talked about this morning. Steve Hummer joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. I was alluding to a segment that I saw on TV, and it was called The Audience of Two. And basically what it was is how Tiger Woods, when he started and he was going through that amazing run, was performing for an audience of millions. And then he had everything happen. It started back in 08, and then the marriage, and the kids are coming around. The kids are coming up, but they've never seen Daddy be Tiger Woods before.
Right.
And his comeback wasn't necessary. He really didn't need the money. Unless he was really driven to pass Jack, which we don't know if it's going to happen. But it was surmised that he is now performing for an audience of two, and that motivation is enough to get him where he is today and what we've seen over the last year. Do you subscribe to that theory?
I would subscribe partially to it. I think there might be an audience of three. You got to look at himself, because he's he's a pretty proud guy. He's a pretty driven guy. So I think there is some. Professional ego certainly involved in that, to prove to himself that he could still do it. But the kids are obviously another factor, because it is almost a generation since he was Tiger Woods. And two, it's going to reopen the whole Tiger Jack debate too, if he actually comes back. You know, who's the greatest. So he's right. He's interested in writing his own legacy too, as well as showing himself to his kids.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline this morning with Steve Hummer. He is in Augusta and headed for Augusta National, where they moved up the starting times. We're about 3 minutes away from the first tee times, by the way, for the day, getting things started. Threesomes going off both on 10 and on 1, which is something we don't usually see there at the place. Yet, the thought that they may do this kind of circulated kind of early yesterday. What time did you hear about this?
I was hearing about around noon, and I think they pretty well knew they were going to do it and just didn't release it till about 5. But it was I was just really grateful they did it, because by the reports there was no way they were going to get it in. They don't want it in. That CBS, you know, they lose that. That afternoon window, but they don't want to show this thing on Monday. So it's just a good thing. I'm just hoping there's no playoff. You know, that could lap over into where the rain window is.
Yeah, you don't want that either. Hopefully get it all wrapped up and able to present the green jacket and everything. What special?
Yeah, I think they're going to scrap the green jacket ceremony outside too. They're going to do the obviously the show in the cabin, but they're trying to. Last I heard, they were going to just try to get people out of there as quick as possible.
Yeah, want to get people off the course. What are you working on? We turn it to AJC at AJC.com this morning. What have you been working on this week from Augusta?
Well, just a lot of walking around and enjoying the moment. Writing about this tournament has been particularly challenging because there's just been so many elements to it. It's just been there's so many people in the lead who people care about, and you have to try and incorporate all of it. And there's really I didn't do a very good job of that because there's just no way to do it. And then of course everybody complains about I hear complaints from readers all the time. You do too much Tiger, but he's the guy who drives the bus.
It's just, right.
It's just how it works.
Well, maybe he can answer what happened to that guard. It almost took Tiger out like a
yeah,
double play.
Man, where's that guy? Is he in charge of pimento cheese sandwiches or something? That's what
I
hope.
I think I saw him working traffic on Washington Road. he was actually somebody got a hold of him and talked to him very briefly after that, and he sounded like he's a good guy. He's doing his job, and he was really happy that Tiger birdied that hole. he may have been Tiger's biggest fan from that moment.
I know it.
As a fan, Steve, what are some of the other golfers that you're keeping an eye on this week?
Well, I mean, I think Molinari is going to be really hard to beat. And I don't mean to sound disappointed in that, because his game has been just spot on. He's had one bogey, and that was Thursday, I think on number 11, and he's played pretty much spotless golf since then. And that's nobody does that. And so I think he's going to be hard to catch. I think Koepka is still going to be a factor but there's a whole host of guys. I'd like to see Adam Scott do some because I have him in my pool, but I don't know that's going to happen.
Usually we see some of the golfers either from Georgia or from Georgia Tech, and we see Matt Kuchar is there on the board
right.
As well. So I know it's someone that you'd be watching and paying close attention to if he can make a move.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see it happening, but maybe he could surprise us. It's going to be an interesting day today because already the wind's starting to blow a little bit, and it's going to be gusty, and that's going to change the whole complexion. The scoring yesterday was just nuts, and I don't know if there's going to be that many guys going that low again.
Yeah. Well, we hope they get it all in, Steve, and because of the out-of-town media, they still set to play on Monday, the out-of-town media?
I think they're still doing it. I don't know. The weather might well mess them up. I've never entered the lottery. There's gonna be guys watching the sky about that. If they get a lot of rain, they're not gonna get to go out and play. So poor guys.
Guys come to town to cover a golf tournament and they bring clubs with them. In case
man. I mean, that's one of those bucket list moments. You get to play at Augusta
on the day after the tournament.
Exactly.
You get to play tournament setup.
They usually play for the members' tees, but everything else, the greens are there. You know, my next life, I'm going to come back as a golf writer, I think. it's a pretty good gig.
Let's go back. Last question for you, because I do want to get his perspective. Were you out there for the women's amateur for the first time this earlier in this week? What was that like out there?
That was terrific. Hey, it was a great spectating opportunity because you had fewer people out there, and so you could really. And it's before the course got really mucked up with people trampling on it. And so for that reason alone, it was terrific. But it was good golf. You know, it, of course, played a lot shorter, and the pins were pretty benign, but that's the way they set golf courses up for all of women's events. And I think it was a big hit. I thought it was terrific. And like Augusta National came off looking pretty good about that. It's good because they've been on the other side of that controversy long enough.
And that's the other thing I was going to say. It was a place that seemed like for years always stayed the same. And it seemed like, you know, the members were kind of rigid and not wanting to budge on some things. Did you ever think you see a day when they would have a women's event and on Sunday the kids take over, for crying out loud?
Yeah, no, they've kind of embraced the idea of trying to grow the game a little bit and being a little more inclusive, and it's good. It's about time. You have to give them credit for that. They could have still stayed, dug in, but they're bless their hearts, they're trying.
Yeah, and I think they also figure that other golf clubs and organizations kind of keep an eye on them to see what they're doing. It seemed like they're taking a leadership role and kind of being ahead of the curve and things, and I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yep. Well, we see some spectators now are walking
their
way.
Yeah, they're walking
in. You can't run. No running as you go into the gates of Augusta National. They're walking real fast. It's like that walk race you see in the Olympics is what they
yeah,
do.
Yeah, no running, no cell phones. Don't bring those. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, man.
We got to continually remind ourselves not to do that. And I once stumbled out there mistakenly with one, and I thought, oh, this was like the worst thing ever.
So what do they do when they find cell phones on people? Will they just confiscate them right there?
You got to go.
Or you got to go back and put it in your car and then come back?
Go back and put it at the gate.
Yeah, I think they, you know, for fans, I don't know, media, you get called to the principal's office.
Yeah, we have to go back to the press building.
Yeah. With fans, I'm not exactly sure how they deal with that. I don't know if they just take it and then you have to go claim it later. But it's like it's a cardinal sin here.
I'm telling you. Will you leave yours in the proper place, Steve? And have a great day.
Believe me, I will.
Appreciate
it. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Yeah, appreciate it, man.
All right, take care of yourself.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, that is Steve Hummer at Augusta, where they're up and the sun's up and they're getting ready to – they've already started the final round, already started playing.
I did want to ask him about – because that was a big deal for you, too. You were talking about the women's tournament that was,
it was.
The amateur out there.
Yeah,
and Augusta
great.
Stepped into the 21st century. That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about Atlanta United a little bit. They finally got in a check in the W column, right?
Yep.
Finally. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Corner to Parkhurst, who volleys it nicely over to Vialba in the box, dribbles to the end line, cuts it to the spot. Here's Barco running on from long distance to trap on the far side. Barco's swinger! Goal! Golazo! What a goal by Barco!
That's the voice of our old Mike. Mike Conti.
Yeah.
A little bit premature there. Got me all worked up.
Yeah, Mike.
Barco gets the goal. These guys get the win. We talked about this match yesterday. Atlanta United over New England. 2-0.
2-0.
And
needed
there was
it.
A lot of people on the ledge.
Needed
having
it.
Having this thing. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com on this Redshirt Sunday. Taking a second here talking about Atlanta United and finally getting off the schneid.
Finally getting the win. They needed it up in New England. Ezekiel Barco scoring not once but twice. And a nice shutout performance, just what the team needed. Their first win at MLS for this season, first under new manager coach Frank DeBoer, who everyone's kind of like looking at and rolling their eyes at, like, all right, coach, we had to win something here. And you know, like just like Mike Conti had said, though, the team in the last few matches seem to have been progressing in the right direction, putting themselves in opportunities to have more scoring chances. This time they were able to get them and get the win. And that's what we used to around here.
Well, let's just say it this way.
That's what we're accustomed to.
It sounds better when you say it this way. Atlanta beat a Robert Kraft team.
How about that? Yeah.
A Robert Kraft-owned team.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yep. I wonder if he was there. He probably
I don't even think that he's east of the Mississippi, to be honest with you. If I was him, I would go nowhere east of the Mississippi.
But,
Florida,
but your team,
in New England.
But your teams are in.
I'd be on vacation now. Nobody playing football. He doesn't go. We heard yesterday from one of the reporters, he doesn't show up to these MLS games. He's just writing them a check. He's the owner or one of the owners. He doesn't put any money into this. He does not do, according to the reports, what Arthur Blank does for his MLS team.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that he would be missed if he's not showing up.
Well, he didn't show up, and, you know, hey.
He ain't help him. Not now a bit.
Atlanta United gets the win, and that's what we want more than anything else. I'm sure it was a happy trip back home for them to get prepared for the next match. So that's great. That's we've seen them win one. and that sounds strange.
I know it doesn't. That sounds strange. The fact that we have to say that now.
Considering the way things started out with this team the first two seasons. We got to the point where we kind of took it for granted, you know what I mean? So now it's. You know, it's added a little more drama. It's a different kind of script this year. You know, I don't know who's writing this plot, but I mean, it's a different kind of plot. As long as it has the same result in the end, I'm good.
Sammy Gregg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Before we get into this next topic here, we should let you guys know, and seriously, Sam, you brought it up during the break, we have got a list of counties that are under tornado warnings or watches right now. No, it's a tornado watch.
Yeah.
But we got like 57 counties.
And that area is only growing now. It's only growing as the weather comes from Alabama. It's going to move through our area, and that is why they're moving up the tee times and getting things started playing in Augusta. We just talked with Steve Hummer, and he talked about how the wind is actually starting to pick up over at Augusta long before the rain gets there.
All right, Sam, hold on. We have a special caller, I've been told.
Uh-oh.
And you know who I give shout-outs to when I hear that name. Who is that? When I say shout-out, Lost Mountain, who am I talking about?
Lost Mountain.
Who am I talking about?
I'm about McEachern.
Okay, well, what has McEachern got something going on right now that's worthy of us talking about? Or maybe a coach?
Coach? Which one?
Basketball coach.
Oh.
We've got him on the line.
Oh, the one state championship.
Coach, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good morning.
We got ourselves a surprise.
How you guys doing?
We're doing fine. How are you doing?
And I'm doing great.
How did we weed you out?
Well, I just wanted to make sure, you know, early up on Sunday morning doing a little work. You know, I didn't want Sam to think, but, you know, you never know who's going to be listening to your show.
Well, we appreciate
it. You know, you guys were talking about the shot clock, and all of a sudden you were talking about teams that were pretty good, and all of a sudden Sam says, well, they just roll it out over there at McEachern anyway.
I would seem that you guys would have a clock or a score, or you know what, or you have a scoreboard that includes a clock.
We do, but I'm going to tell you, Sam, I thought, if Sam thinks it's that easy to come over here and do what we did, then I need to call him up and talk to him.
Thank you. All right, let's make this official. This is Coach Mike Thompson, basketball coach at McEachern.
And McEachern High School State Championship.
Yes. And
coach, top-ranked in the country.
Yes. Coach, I don't know if you know this, but every time – I just kind of adopted that school because y'all the closest one in my region. I didn't go to high school here. So anytime anything McEachern, it's shout-out Lost Mountain.
I do know that. I listen to you guys all the time. So, I hear you guys every Sunday morning and then other times when you're on. So, I love your show. I just thought I would get a little jab in at Sam this morning and let him know that, you know, we're working hard over here to try to get things done. So,
well, Coach, listen, that's what I get paid for is a jab at Sam. But let's bring you into this conversation while we got you.
Let's talk about this 35-second clock.
We are on – I mean, overall, Sam and I agree. But as far as getting to this – where there's a shot clock in every gym on the high school level is where we disagree. What do you feel, or just your thoughts on implementing the shot clock? Do you think it should be sooner than later, or are you cool with the way it is right now?
Well, I think the shot clock has to be a part of what we do. I mean, that's the game that the kids are going to play, and I think it's something that needs to be adopted. The concern I have is for the expense that'll be involved for, you know, some of the smaller schools, some of the smaller regions, you know, to tell them that you've got to now buy the equipment that's associated with the 30-second shot clock or whatever it's going to be. And then also tell them that, you know, in most cases, you know, you have to pay an official in football to keep the clock. You know, we don't have to do that right now, but, you know, we don't want to get to the point where we've got to pay another official to keep the 30-second clock. Are you going to have to pay someone anyway to keep it? So I just worry a little bit about the expenses that are going to be for some of the schools that really have a hard time with budgets and those kind of things.
Coach, with that being said, Coach Crump joined us yesterday, and he talked about a way of implementing it gradually. I think, obviously, we see it in those pre-region tournaments, obviously during the holiday time and King holiday weekend. Would that be something you think most of the coaches around the state would agree with?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to do it, Sam. And I mean, I think it probably is going to stay like that if they do that. I think it would stay like that for a little bit and give people the opportunity to, you know, somewhere down the line, if it's 3 years, 5 years, whatever it is, to be able to implement that. You know, a lot of the national tournaments that you play in now, they all have a shot clock anyway. And so I think I heard you guys talking earlier. That gives those teams that are, you know, they do have college-bound players on their team, and they do have guys that are going to play at the next level. It gives them a chance to play in that situation, and it's good for them. It's a different game, you know, and it's a fast game anyway, but it gets even faster when you're playing with a shot clock.
Yeah.
Listen,
if you buy a new shot clock or you buy a new scoreboard for your gym these days, it has that kind of built into it, doesn't it, if you buy one of the new scoreboards?
Right. I mean, I would think so. I mean, that's going to be an expense whether you do it that way or whether you just buy the standalone, you know, shot clock itself. I would hope that eventually they would all have them in there, make it a lot easier so there wouldn't have to be, you know, more than one clock being looked at all the time.
Coach, we can't thank you enough for getting on the phone and calling up here and harassing
Coach
Sam this morning.
Well, I'll tell you what, I love listening to you guys. You guys do a great job and, you know, gives us something to do on Sunday morning. You're always very, very good with what you do, so I really appreciate it. Hey, we really appreciate the shout-out from Keachin High School.
There you go. Shout-out Lost Mountain, man.
That's my area.
Sam's got his area town, and he's all about West Georgia. But, you know, I adopted you guys, and you got a great stadium out there. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Well, we appreciate it. We're
going to get out there soon.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Right.
That's Coach Mike Thompson out there at McEachin, man. And, you know, he was eavesdropping on us this morning. That's okay. That's all right.
Yeah.
You know,
I saw something that was amazing. Nick Saban allowed media members to be officials at his spring game.
Yeah, he did change things up a little bit
crazy.
Sometimes.
It's Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.